All right, so we are holding on Chess Zion on the days, seven lines from the bottom. Line, there's two lines in a row that begin on Shemar Kane, and we're on the second one. We started talking about the tefillos that the various Tanoim and Amoroim would say at the end of their, at the end of Shemar Esrei. Like we say, Elokein Tzor, and in fact, we're going to have later on, one of the Amoroim says a version of Elokein Tzor that's much the same as ours, or a little bit different. But each of these Amoroim had their own personal tefillah that they would, each Tanoim or Amoroim would have their own personal tefillah that they would say at the end of their Shemar Esrei. So we've quoted a few of them already, so now the next one. Rav, Boset Tzloisei Omahoch, Rav would say the following after his Shemar Esrei. Yirotzen Lothanach HaShem Alekeinu, Shetitzen Manu Chaim Aruchim, you should give us long life, Chaim Shal Shalom, Chaim Shal Tova, a life of good, Chaim Shal Bracha, Chaim Shal Panosa, a life of Parnasa, Chaim Shal Chilut HaTzomet. Chilut HaTzomet literally means vigor of bones. It's taken from a Lashon HaPasuk, so it means health, basically. Chilut means like vigor, strengthening, right? Like Necholet Chushim, like Chalutim Tavu, right? You'll go like armed, as armed men in front of the Jewish people. Moshe tells to Moshe and Ruch to shave it Ruchin and shave it God. So yeah, I mean strength, strength. So Chilut HaTzomet, strength of bones, so that's a good health. Chaim sheyesh b'hem yiras chet, chaim shen b'hem busho chlima, a life where there's no embarrassment or humiliation. Chaim shel osher v'chavar, the life of riches and honor. Chaim shetehe b'nu avas tera v'yos shemayim, a life where we have love of Torah and fear of Hashem. Chaim shetemala v'nu es kom v'shalot v'benu l'tova, a life where you fulfill all of the desires of our hearts for good. That was Rav's tefillah. In Nusach Ashkenaz, they say this with a few variations, before benching the Chodesh, before Mishael and Nissan, in this side of the okay. It's interesting, actually, I found out yesterday, I stopped in by Rabbi Oster's shiur to check it out, he mentioned that the Rebbe used to say that as well to himself before Mishael, because the Rebbe's father, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, used to, and therefore the Rebbe followed that. There's a couple of things like that. Domus is another one where Rabbi Levi used to say it, and so the Rebbe also said it, even though it's not mainstream in a Chabad.
Why is the question?
Why he said it? Where he got it from?
Not why he said it. Why for the mainstream?
That's a good question, because Alter Rebbe didn't put it in the Siddur. That's why, for whatever reason, why the Alter Rebbe didn't choose to put it in the Siddur is another question. But whatever it is, it's in the case of Akdamus, the Alter Rebbe didn't put it in the Kriyas HaTorah at all. So I guess in different places they had different minhagim. Apparently, the city minhag of the town of Lubavitch was not to say Akdamus, and therefore that developed, that eventually became mainstream Chabad minhag. As far as these few lots, and I have no idea. Okay, anyway. Rebbe Bosat Tzloisei Omahachi. Rebbe would say the following tefillah after his Shemar Esrei. Yirotzen Lothanach HaShem Elokeinu Melechei Avotenu, Shetatzilenu Me'azei Ponim, you should save us from brazen chutzpahdika people. That, Rashi says, that they shouldn't try to cause me trouble. Me'azus Ponim, and from brazenness, which means, in other words, Marsha explains, Rashi explains, Me'azus Ponim, Sholei Yetziru Alei Laz Mamzerus. People shouldn't claim falsely that I'm a mamzer. And we actually have a story in Masechta Shabbos where somebody actually claimed such a thing about Rebbe. So he's asking that shouldn't happen.
Why?
Because, you know, how it is. I mean, the Pashtos is just because people who are prominent tend to attract idiots and cranks. Why specifically about Rebbe? I don't know. One thing is, actually, one of the other Mephoshim, and the Iyun Yaakov, and Ein Yaakov points out which people often tend to be chutzpahdik, Osher Yana Azus. So therefore, Rebbe is asking, even though he's rich, he's one of the richest people in his time, but Hashem should save him from becoming an Azponim. Okay. From Me'odam Ra, from a bad person, with Pega Ra, for bad things that will happen, Me'yetzer Ra, from Me'yetzer Hara, Me'chover Ra, from a bad friend, Mishochen Ra, from a bad neighbor, or Misotan Hamashchis, from destructive, adverse adversary. Where, by the way, Sutton over here doesn't just mean the Malach, the Sutton that we always talk about. It means also a human being who is an adversary, who is an enemy. When we din kosher, from a difficult din, when we bow din kosher, from a difficult litigant, somebody that you have to be in a din Torah with, meaning, in other words, so the Iyun Yaakov explains that sometimes you have the judgment itself, the case itself is a very complicated case, so you don't want to have to be involved in that, where it's going to take a lot of visits to a base din or whatever to deal with. And then you can have, sometimes the case itself is easy, but the other guy is a tough guy and he's not willing to listen to the base din or whatever. So you can have a din kosher without a baal din kosher and vice versa.
So here we're talking about baal din.
So here it's both din kosher and baal din kosher. So it shouldn't be a difficult case, and it shouldn't be a difficult baal din to deal with. Ben Chu Ben Bris, whether that Baal Din is Ben Bris, meaning a fellow Yid, in the set of shots over there. Sorry, I should have taken out another one for you. Ben Chu Ben Bris, whether he's a member of the Bris, meaning whether he's a Yid, or Ben Chena Ben Bris, or whether he's not a Ben Bris. So this was Rebbe's tefillah. So we say it every morning, and we say it with some variations in morning davening right after the bracha hamavir shenem einai. We say this paragraph. The Shara Kol points out an interesting thing. Why taka? We don't say most of these other ones. He says he explains that actually the bracha hamavir shenem and the irach and mokanava, it's all one long bracha in a certain way, actually corresponds in miniature to Shemoneh Esrei. So Rebbe would say it after the full Shemoneh Esrei. So we say it after this sort of this mini Shemoneh Esrei.
Okay.
And the Gemara says, "Va'afakam b'taimik tzutze alei the Rebbe," even though Rebbe had police who were there at the command of Antoninus, the famous Antoninus, the Roman emperor, was a friend of Rebbe, and he arranged for police to always be guarding Rebbe
to protect
him, so that if anybody tries to start up with Rebbe, they're going to find themselves the worst of it. Nevertheless, Rebbe would still say the Shema. What, there's no Gemara brachos then? I'm sorry, I should have taken. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Rav Safra basat sloisei omahochi. When Rav Safra would finish Shemoneh Esrei, he would say the following tefillah: Yirotam lofanach Hashem lekenu shetosim. Okay. Shetosim shalom b'pamalia shomayla or b'pamalia shomata. You should make peace among the pamalia, which means like the entourage, the malachim up above. And the pamalia, it comes from Latin, I think. Like in you have the word familia, like the word family in English.
Yeah.
We don't say pamalia. But no, you have it's a common phrase among in Divrei Chazal. They often mention pamalia shamayla, pamalia shamata. But I don't know where we mention it in Davin. Anyway, pamalia shamayla means Rashi says the sorin, the malachim of the various nations up in Shamayim. When they start fighting among themselves, then the result is that there's fights and wars among the nations that they represent down here on earth. So we ask that there should be shalom among those malachim, and then automatically there'll be shalom among the shalom among the nations on earth. So pamali shamayla, pamali shamata. Pamali shamata means, Rashi says, the gathering of the chachamim. So there should be shalom among the malachim and shamayim, which automatically will result in shalom among the nations on earth. And also there should be shalom among the talmid chachamim. Ubein ha-talmidim o'oskim b'sorah secha, and among the talmidim who are involved in learning your Torah, bein o'oskim l'shma, bein o'oskim shalo l'shma, whether they are involved in Torah l'shma or not, and he also davened, anybody who's involved in learning Torah, not the Shema, it should be Hashem's will that you should help them to overcome that Yetzer Hara and start being Oseh for Torah Lishma. Marshall points out, based on the Tosfos over here, a little later, the third Tosfos here on the Amud, which is relevant to later in the Sugya, that there's actually a couple of different types of Shaloi Lishma. There's a Shaloi Lishma where a person is learning Torah because he's learning Torah, for example, in order that people should honor him and respect him and whatever. So that's the first time that he's talking about. So he's not learning Lashma, he's learning it in order for fame and whatever. But nevertheless, there should be Shalom between him and the ones who learn Lashma, because at least that's not such a bad kind of Lashma. Okay, it's not the proper way of learning Torah, but at least there's a good chance that he'll eventually come, as we say, Mitzvah Shalom Lashma, Bal Lashma. Then on the other hand, you have the kind of Shaloi Lishma where the person is learning Torah what's called lakanter, in order to insult and anger people. Like he uses his Torah to be able to, for example, to be able to find hekerim that he can use, for example, to let's say to cheat them in business or whatever, you know, or whatever, you know, like I'm a Talmid Chacham and you're not, and insult them, that kind of thing. So that's the second kind he's talking about. So he's not asking there should be shalom between them and the other Talmid Chachamim. What we want is first let them get to the point of Lishma, then we can talk about Shalom between them and the other Chacham, because right now they're not at a situation yet where there's going to be any Shalom, because they're just doing it Lakanter. All right, so that was Rav Safra's tefillah. Rav Alexandri Boset Tzloisei Amahokri. Rav Alexandri would say the following tefillah after we dab in Shemoneh Esrei. You should make us be able to stand in a corner of light,
Baal Tamagena Bekeren Hashecha, don't make a stand in a corner of darkness. Our hearts shouldn't have to be pained and our eyes should not have to be darkened. What do we mean by a corner of light and a corner of darkness? Marsha explains, when we're in Gullus, it's like we're in the corner. We don't have room to move about freely. It could also be, you know, I mean, I don't know, Marsha doesn't say this, but, you know, it's like when you send a kid to timeout in the corner, you know, so, like, so to speak, Gullus is like Hashem put us in timeout. So the point is, at least that Keren should be a Keren of Oira rather than the opposite. Pesher Agabta says a very interesting idea about it. He says a corner is where two walls come together. So it's what unites the two things. So he says it should be that we Jewish people should be able to be, that we come together and are united when there's good, when there's light in the world, not that we have to come together only because there's bad and there's anti-Semitic attacks and whatever, and that brings us together. It should be able to be that we come together because of good things. You know, in the last few weeks, we had examples of both. We had 90,000 of us gathering together for Oira, and then unfortunately you had people who had to gather in Manhattan because of Hashecha. So, okay. Because of the attacks that were going on, so they had this march in Manhattan a week or two ago. Yeah. All right. Ikadamri, another version, Harav Hamnuna Matzila. Another version goes that actually that tefillah that we just quoted about the Keren Oira and Keren Hashecha, that was Rav Hamnuna's tefillah. Rabbi Alexandri, according to that version, Rabbi Alexandri's tefillah, when he finished davening Bosa Damasli, after he finished Shemana Esri, Amahachi, according to this version, he would say as follows, Ribon Ha'olam, Goli V'yadur L'fanecha, it's known and it's obvious and known before you, Sheretenenu Lachis V'tenecha, that our desire is to do your will. We know that a Yid wants to do what Hashem wants. We know this even comes up in Halacha, famously in Hilchos Gittin. Umima active, so who prevents it from happening, that we don't do what Hashem wants. So Ur Shiba Issa the Shibud Malchius, the yeast in the dough, which is the Yetzahara, which makes us like Gaivadik, or it makes us chomitzdik, so to speak, and the fact that we're subjugated to the nations, that those prevent us from doing mitzvahs. One explanation is the Sur Shiba Issa, like you said, it's related to Gaiva. So on the one hand, there's the Yetzirah that puffs us up. On the other hand, Maharsha says, there's the Shibud Malchius, which pushes us down. We're subjugated and harassed by the nations, and that makes us too humble more than we should be. So like there's no balance. The person is either too high or too low. So another explanation is also that the Yetzirah causes the person to be over on mitzvah loisah there. And Shibud Malchus prevents a person from doing mitzvah saseh, like you have many times in Jewish history, where Goyish governments tried to prevent the people from doing mitzvah saseh, milah and tefillin and so forth. Yehiratzim l'fanecha shetatzilenu miyadam, may it be your will, Hashem, that you save us from their hands, the noshev for both the Yetzirah and the Shibud Malchus, the noshev l'asis chukim etanecha b'lev v'sholem, and will return to doing the chukim of your will with a full heart. And that was his tefillah. Rava Basat Floyte Amahachi. Rava would say as follows after his Shemana Esrei, Elikai, this we say on Yom Kippur at the end of Vidri, Elikai, Ad Shalom Nitzarti, before I was created, Eni Kedai, I wasn't worthy to even be created. But Achshav Shenitzarti Keilu Loi Nitzarti, now that I was created, it's as if I wasn't created. I'm still unimportant. It's as if I was never created. Marsha explains, like this, you have the famous argument between the Shammai and the Silo. Is a person better off having been created or not? Noyach lo la'adam shenivra or shaloi nivra, in the Gemara in Eruvin. And the consensus in the end, they finally decided that noyach lo shaloi nivra. Why? Because there are more mitzvahs loisah there than mitzvahs haseh. So like there's more, there's 365, there's a 248. So there's more of a chance to mess up in the world than there is to do good. So therefore we're saying that before I was created, I wasn't even worthy to be created because like why did Hashem even bother creating the human being when there's so much greater chance that he's going to go the wrong way. Now that I'm created, where I at least have the chance to do the mitzvah saseh, it's as if I wasn't created because I'm not accomplishing the mitzvah saseh anyway. So what am I accomplishing in the world?
So what is greater, not to do the 365 laws or to do the 248?
So in the beginning of time, in the beginning of Igeres HaKodesh, the Alter Rebbe talks about the respective things of them. Where on the one hand, a mitzvah loisa says directly, deliberately going be a dayim against what Hashem wanted. Whereas a mitzvah saseh, not doing a mitzvah saseh is not. On the other hand, missing a mitzvah saseh, you can't make it up. A person violates the loisa saseh, they can do tshuva. So there's a balance. But anyway, the point is that so before I was created, I didn't deserve to be created, and now that I was created, it's as if I wasn't created. Ofra ani b'chaye, I'm dust even in my lifetime. Kavachomer b'misasi, how much more so after I pass away. Behold, I am before you like a vessel full of embarrassment and humiliation. It may be your will, Hashem, that I shouldn't do Averis anymore. And whatever Averis I already did do before you, Morek barachmecha rabin. Morek means to cleanse them, like Morek the Shutar Kamoyim.
We use this Russian mind for mezuzos?
For mezuzos, no. But
I would say raise a letter in.
That's mohak. And in fact, actually, in the master, when we say this on Yom Kippur, our nusach is mechoit rather than morik. Yeah, mechoit means to erase, right? Morik means cleanse. Okay, different gifts though. Mechoit morik v'rachmecha rabim, cleanse them with your great rachmim. Avaloy ayde yisurim v'chaloyim roim, but don't do it through yisurim and terrible diseases. We learned it before. It's predicate. Yisurim clean up a person's averus, but we're asking Hashem clean it up in a better way, right? B'tuvah nurvah nikla, right? This same paragraph that Rava said every day at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei is what Rav Hamnuna Zuti would say on Yom Kippur, and we do also. We say it in all five chillas of Yom Kippur. He would say it on Yom Kippur, and then from that it became that everybody else said. When he finished Shemoneh Esrei, Omar Hochi, he would say as follows, and this is what we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei with some variations. Elokai, Netzer L'Shoni Meira, guard my tongue from evil, with the Sifsoisai, or Sfasai, we say in our Nusach, Midaber Mirma, from speaking falsehood. Which the difference is, ra means that a person speaks something which is openly bad about somebody else. Mirma is like he's a hypocrite. He pretends to be speaking good and really saying something no good. So.
Lashon hara is...
So lashon hara is...
Mirma?
No, so I mean it can be both. Either one is a form of lashon hara. But ra means open ra, and mirma means trickery.
What's metzi shemra?
Metzi shemra is something else. It's where a person lies, where a person spreads false reports about somebody else. As opposed to lashon hara, in principle, is true, but it's still wrong to say it. But you're still not allowed to say it because it's uncomplimentary to the other person or whatever. To anybody who curses me, let my neshama be silent. The nafshi ka'ata lakil tia, let my soul be as dust to everybody. Well, the original pasuk, the nafshi ka'ata lakil tia, right, comes from Tehillim. So some phrases of this come from various places in davening, right? Open up my heart to your Torah, over mitzvah secha tudeh nafshi, and let my neshama pursue your mitzvahs. The satzuleni, this part we don't say in davening, the satzuleni mipegara, save me from any bad occurrences, miyetahara, or miishara, from a bad wife, and we call Royce from a stragitous love of the Olam, and from any other bad things that are getting read, that are stirring up and coming into the world. And anybody who thinks that about me, quickly ruin their plans and destroy their thoughts. Plans means that they already said them. Thoughts means they're still thinking about them.
That
we say at the end of the tefillah, right? So we leave out the line the satzulim kegara, but we say the rest of it with some extra things as well. One thing is it talks about in that the Alter Rebbe talks about in Lakut Torah. It's brought in many other places in Siddurs. The nafshi ka'afa lakil tia is an essential prerequisite to tzachli be b'sarah secha. You want your heart to be opened up to Torah, it has to first be that you have that bittul of the nafshi ka'afa lakil tia. In fact, actually, it talks about like this, a person is already standing in Shemoneh Esrei in a sense of bittul, but still only after Shemoneh Esrei, when he's saying this paragraph, does he reach an even greater level of bittul, where then it's a prerequisite for tzachli be b'sarah secha.
So when we say it's in the end of the tefillah.
That's the point. In other words, so you have the whole time the person has been standing in bittul in front of Hashem. Now, at the end, the person achieves is meant to achieve this higher level of bittul. Now, it's interesting that only here do we have Yiyur L'Ratzon mentioned. And it's also interesting that the Lashon we had at the beginning was a little bit different. All the other ones we said, Bosar Tzloisei, after his Shemoneh Esrei, he would say such and such. Here the expression by Ma'aver de Ravina is, Ki Havim Asayim Tzloisei, when he was finishing his Shemoneh Esrei. So there is actually an argument among the Rishonim, do we say When were all of these other chachamim saying their tefillos? And that also relates to the question, when do we say Yiru L'Rotzen? Do we say Yiru L'Rotzen right after we finish the 19 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, right? And only then do we start saying these various tefillos? Or is it the other way around? We say one or another of these tefillos, and then we say Yiru L'Rotzen. So in fact, actually, because of this machloikas, this is why we say it twice. That is why we say it twice. Right after Sim Shalom, then we say Alekai Nesor, and then we finish again with Hoyser Shalom. With Yiru L'Rotzen, in order to be yoked to both of those opinions. It's Negev, by the way. Until the first Yiru L'Rotzen, you're still in Shemoneh Esrei. You can't interrupt for answering Kaddish or Kedusha or what have you. Once you're after the first Yiru L'Rotzen, you're in the Tachnunim, then you're like in the Barachas of Shema. You're allowed to answer certain parts of Kaddish, certain parts of Kedusha, etc. One more. Rav Sheshet, he have a Yosef B'Tanisa. When Rav Sheshet was fasting, B'Pashas, we're not talking about one of the six fasts during the year. B'Pashas, we're talking about an individual fast for whatever reason. Bosad of Matzli, after he davened, Omar Hochi, he would say the following paragraph. Ribon Ha'olamim, Golu Lefanecha, it's known before you, B'Zman Shebeis Mekdash Kayim, Odom Choyter U'Makriv Korban, that when the Beis Mikdash was standing, if a person did an Aveira, he would bring a korban. The Ein Makriven Mimenu El Chelva V'Damai, the only part of the korban that they would actually be offering is the fat and the blood. Don't worry about it. And then he would have a kapara. But after the Shavti B'Tainis, now I've sat fasting, V'Nismai Chelvi V'Damai, and now my fat and my blood are less. Because some of them get consumed during the day, the body has to live. Maybe you will, Hashem, that my blood and fat that was reduced could be as if I offered it before you on the Mizbeach, and you should accept my fast and my tefillah. In fact, Marshall points out, we know that one of the general ideas behind the korban, one of the famous ideas behind the korban, that Amnam, I think, mentions it, is that a person should have done. Definitely, I know, mentions it, is that a person should realize symbolically everything that's happening with the korban by rights should have happened to him as a result of his avodah. Instead, Hashem is telling him, take the animal and shecht it and then sprinkle the blood and burn the fat, etc., instead of your own. So this is the same thing. Okay. Since we mentioned various tefillos that the Chachamim would say at the end of their Shemoneh Esrei, so now the Gemara digresses to talk further about other statements that the Chachamim made at different times. Rabbi Yochanan, if you have Messiah Sikra de Iyov, when Rabbi Yochanan would finish learning Sikra Iyov, Omar Hochi, he would say the following statement. Sikra Iyov, now Rashi explains that Sikra Iyov ends that Iyov died with a good name. We know the whole basic story that Iyov was rich and famous and everything, and Yoresh Shemayim and everything, and then he had terrible sufferings that came to him, and he and his friends have whole arguments about it. In the end, he gets back everything that he had, even double, and he lives a long, happy life. Vachi Iyov Zokin Usva Yomim is the last one.
He wasn't
the one to test me,
right? No, that's not Zokin. Why is it such a screw-up for nothing?
Who's it? You're thinking of Master Yonah. I have no idea. But that's the Yonah. This is the Yonah. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Yochanan, if you have Messiah Sifra D'Iyev, when Rabbi Yochanan would finish Sefer Iyev, Omar Hochi, he would say the following thing. This is like the message of the Sefer. Sof Adam Lomus, the end of a person is he's going to die. The Sof Behem L'Shechita, the end of an animal is it's meant to be shechted. V'akol L'Mithahem Omdim, eventually everybody is destined to die. Therefore, while a person is alive, Asher Misha Godol B'Torah, so happy is a person who gets raised with Torah, with learning Torah, or becomes greater in Torah, V'Amolei B'Torah, he works hard in learning Torah, V'Oysa Nachas Ruach V'Yotzrei, he brings Nachas Ruach to Hashem who created him, V'Godol B'Shem Tov, Nifter B'Shem Tov, he grows greater with a good name while he's alive, and he passes away with that nifter b'shem tov min ha'olam, and he passes away from the world with a good name. But all of Omer Shlomo, I'm such a person. Shlomo says tov shem mishem and tov, a good name is better than good fragrant oil. V'yem ha'mavis v'yem hivoldei, and when a person passes away, the day a person passes away is better than the day he was born. So that's that was kind of the central message that he took from Sefer Iyov. So Marsha explains also that the Vorkei, Sefer Iyov talks about the death of a person and the Yisurim that he has during his lifetime. So he's saying that, you have eventually a person dies and eventually a person gets old and it's time for him to die, the same way eventually an animal is meant to be shafted. But meanwhile, while it's still alive, an animal is meant to work, it's meant to plow and do work or whatever. And the same thing, a person is meant to accomplish a certain amount while they're alive. Sometimes it happens, Rahman al-Islam, a person passes away early. So happy is a person who accomplished during his lifetime that he brought Nachas Ruach to Hashem and accomplished what he was supposed to be doing during his lifetime. There's a lot of other explanations what Rabbi Yochanan meant that this is the message of Sefer Iyov. Actually, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a very interesting explanation about it. He says we learned in the first parak that Rabbi Yochanan had all of his children die in his lifetime, or most of his children die in his lifetime. We learned on that day. Iyov also had much the same thing because his children also, early in the story, all die. Later on, he has more children, whatever. So Rabbi Yochanan especially, the Sefer Iyov kind of resonated with him more, realized that, after all, this is Hashem put a person in the world. They're supposed to be there for a certain amount of time. What does the person actually accomplish in the world during that time?
No.
It's just why we don't know why. Actually, the Gemara says before, we know why. It was Yisurim Shel Ava. We said that sometimes Hashem brings Yisurim on a tzaddik, Yisurim Shel Ava, in order to clean up any tiny little avodas he had. It might have been to be mechaper on the dirt. It might be for various reasons, but whatever it is.
We talked about
Yisurim Shel Ava. So we said over there that we discussed over there that bonim, that children dying, can still be Yisurim Shel Ava because Rabbi Yochanan, obviously being a tzaddik, wouldn't have had any other kind. Anyway, so the point is that according to that, so particularly this idea that sof adam mamas for sof behem l'shchita, etc., resonated very much with Rabbi Yochanan. And he's saying, I used to think, so what? Okay, so Iyov had all his sons die. Shouldn't that comfort me that it happens to people? But, maybe not. Maybe it happened with Iyov because of Averus of his. But then, he learned the Sefer more thoroughly, and he realized that, it's just that sof adam mamas for it, in the end, the person dies. And then the important thing is what a person accomplishes in his lifetime. All right. Reb Meir used to regularly say the following statement. Learn with all your heart and all your soul to know my ways. He's speaking like in the name of Hashem, so to speak. The lishkar dal dal sefer rosi, and to be diligent to constantly be after the to go and to enter into the doors of my Torah to learn Torah. Nitzur Torosi b'libecha, guard my Torah in your heart. V'negre nechatiya yirosi, my fear of Hashem, that is, should be in front of your eyes. Shmur picha mikol chet, guard your mouth from any kind of averus. V'kar v'kadosh asmacha mikol ashma v'oben, and make yourself tohar and kadosh from any guilt and any avera. V'ani eya imcha b'chamakim, and I will be with you, Hashem says, wherever you are. One thing is, Marsha points out that what Reb Meir is saying in this with this also about Gmor B'cholavavcho Chol Nafshecha and Mitzur Terosi B'libecha is a person is obligated to learn as much about all the courses as he could. You have the Pasuk Das and the Keyavicha. We know that's the core of Chassidus. Is the Rambam writes at the beginning, Leidashi Yasham Matsu Rishon. A person is obligated to know this kind of thing via Daitayim, Ashavayis Alavavavcha, etc. The point is, though, when a person is thinking into these things, he may come up with ideas that are against Torah, which seem logical to him. Those kind of things, the mayor is stressing in this thing that no, those kinds of things you have to throw away. It should always be Gmor B'cholavavcho. To know my ways and to be careful that all you're thinking about are things that are alpi Torah. Any idea that you come across in these things that is against Torah, get rid of it.
Do we say that somewhere?
No, this is just an expression that Rameo used to say. As far as I know, it's not quoted anywhere. Okay. Ma'azil of Rapumayo did Abonin the Yavne. The Rabbanon of Yavne, the Chachamim in the Yeshiva of Yavne, Pumayo means in their mouth. It was a regular statement in the mouth of the Rabbanon of Yavne. Ani Biruya, I am a creation of Hashem, B'chaveri Biruya, and my colleague, Rashi explains, we're talking about an Amoret, is also a Biria, is also created by Hashem. Ani Malachti Ba'ir V'hu Malachti Basadeh. I work in the city. In other words, like, so to speak, I have an easier job because I don't have to travel for my work. V'hu Malachti Basadeh. He has a harder job because he has to work out in the fields. Ani Mashkim L'Malachti V'hu Mashkim L'Malachti. I get up early to do my work, to learn Torah. He gets up early in his to do his work, farming or whatever it is. Kishem Shahu Enemis Gadeh B'Malachti. Just like he is not trying to get himself higher and take over my job. He's not aspiring to take over my job. Kahani Enemis Gadeh B'Malachti, the same thing, I don't aspire to take over his job. The Shem, it means Vashnas, in other words, it means we each have our job that Hashem put us in the world. So I'm not looking for his job, he's not looking for mine. Now, the Shem of Taimah, but they continue. Now you might argue, you might say, okay, you know what? He's right. He's right. He shouldn't bother trying to take over my job of learning Torah, because after all, he's not going to be able to learn very much anyway. He doesn't have the mind for it. So ani marbe b'hu mamet. So you might say, okay, and if he were to go and try learning Torah, what good would it do him anyway? I'm going to be doing a lot because I have the head for it, and he's not going to be doing very much because he doesn't have the head for it. No, shaninu. No, in fact, that's why they're saying you should know. We learn in a Mishnah. Don't think that way. We learn in a Mishnah at the end of Menachos. Echad amarbe v'echad amamet. Talking about when it comes to bring a korban, but it also applies in general to Torah and mitzvahs. Whether a person does a lot or a little, whatever person does, whatever he can, olavad. As long as he has kavana for Hashem, so therefore, in other words, so the fact that the Amoritz is not looking to learn Torah, don't think that he's right in doing so, because anyway, he wouldn't accomplish much. The truth is, he should be trying to take over my job and learn Torah, and whatever he would be able to accomplish, Hashem would appreciate.
Regardless of the potential level, everyone has to reach his own potential.
Yeah, but in other words, they're saying, in other words, you should know that according to what Rashi is saying, essentially what they're saying is you should know these Amei Oretz, they are created by Hashem just like I am. They may not have the ability to learn Torah as much as I am, but they're still really supposed to try. Marsha actually explains it a little differently. We're not talking about Amei Oretz per se. We're talking about Balabatim, who learn a piece of Torah in the morning and then they go off to work. So they're saying that the similar idea, in other words, that you would say, okay, well, shouldn't I consider myself higher than him? I learned so much Torah, he learned so little, so obviously I'm greater than him. No, Hashem appreciates his efforts just as much as he appreciates mine. The Alter Rebbe stresses this very much in Perek Lamed of Tanya, in particular. The Alter Rebbe talks about that not just as far as Torah, but also as far as mitzvahs. You see a person who does a certain avera that you yourself don't, and you're going to think yourself higher than him. Look at that. You know, he listens to his Yetzer Hara. Me, I don't. You should realize, you know, you don't know his situation. You don't know the kind of Yetzer Hara he has. So don't be looking down on him. Yeah. Okay. Abaya used to regularly say the following statement: "La'olam yehi adam orum b'yira." A person should always be crafty and sneaky when it comes to yira. What does that mean? Rashi says, "Laharin b'chol mine orma l'yiras vore." It means you should use all kinds of tricky ways in order to come to yira. So it includes, among other things, for example, that the person tricks the yisahara into allowing him to do the right thing. You have, for example, it says that that David HaMelech, he would be on his way to do some other thing, and then his steps automatically, out of habit, would turn towards the Beis Medrash. So that's an example of Orum B'Yira, like, you know, the Yetzer Hara thinks that morning, you know, David is going out on a business trip or whatever. So okay, let me get him up early, and then meanwhile David redirects himself to the Beis Medrash. So that's an example. In Hayom Yom, for one of the days of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, when it talks about the different kinds of Teshuvah, it mentions over there another meaning of Orum B'Yira is what we talk about, what Hasidim always talk about is the idea there should be blissus. It shouldn't be obvious to people your Yira and your level in Avodah shouldn't be obvious to other people. You present yourself in front of people as a simple Yid. And in fact, it says over there in Hayom Yom that there were Chassidim who were very disturbed when it would be found out what they really are, because they wanted to keep it between themselves and Hashem. They didn't want covered for it or whatever. That is Arum. He's being very sneaky about it. He's having Yira. He's having tremendous Abba and Yira to Hashem, but he's being sneaky and pretending to the belt that he's just a simple person. That's a different kind of thing. But in other words, another would be, for example, Moshe. I mean, everybody knew what Moshe is. He is the leader of the Jewish people. But he's humble that he knew if somebody else had my advantages, he would have been able to accomplish more. That's another. Here we're talking about Odom Vajira, where people don't even realize how great the person is. So to speak, like the series, making them think that he's a simple, he's a posh begid, and really, yeah.
That defeat the purpose of learning Torah and teaching Torah?
It all depends. It all depends on, first of all, it depends on the person's motivation. As we just said, Echad Amav is Echad Amamit, but it depends. You have a kind of person who, a person needs all of them. First of all, they can have, you know, I don't want to get too far off topic, we still have ground to cover, but, you know, when it talks about, you know, you have the idea that there are hidden tzaddikim in every generation. I think that Rebbe once talked about, or one of the previous Rebbeim once talked about, that the hidden tzaddikim aren't necessarily like the classic hidden tzaddikim you hear of in all the stories where, you know, they're wandering around as peddlers or whatever. It means also sometimes you can have, like a Rebbe can also be a hidden tzaddik, because how much of a tzaddik he is hidden from everybody. He can still out. He can be learning and teaching Torah and everything, but still, how great he is still hidden from people. He still is crafty and sneaky about keeping it under wraps. Continues up. I am manirach meshiv chema. A soft answer turns away anger. This is a quotation from a pasuk in Mishlei, actually. In other words, even if somebody else is angry, you speak to him gently, and that'll help take that away. Umar b'shalom im echav v'im kreva. A person has to be increasing shalom with his brothers and with his relatives, the im kol adam, and with every other person. Avafilu im nochri b'shuk, even with a goy in the street, you still should greet him with shalom. Kadesh yehei ohov l'mayla v'nechma b'mata. This way a person will be beloved in shamayim and desired and liked down here on earth. V'hei mekubal al abriyas, and people will accept him, people will like him. And in fact, the Gemara says, Amru Olav, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, Shalek Dimei Adam Shalom Me'olam. Nobody ever said Shalom to him first. He was always the one to initiate Shalom. V'afidu Nachri Mashuf, even a goy in the marketplace, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai would greet him with Shalom first. Okay. Ma'gul of Akumei de Rava. Rava used to regularly say the following statement, Tachlis Chochma Tshuvo Ma'isim Tovim. The tachlis, and Rashi explains tachlis means not just the ultimate purpose, but the ikar, Rashi says, the main thing of Torah is, the main idea of Torah is tshuva u'maisim tovim, is that it should be accompanied by tshuva and maisim tovim, which there are maimorim, there are many maimorim and chassidus. In particular, there's one that the Friedrich Rebbe said during the Rebbe's and Sheva brachas, and then the Rebbe himself repeated it over many years later in Tashin Mem, it's in Sefer Ma'amar Melukah, that basically explaining what this is all about. That it's not just that you learn Torah in order to reach Tshuva and Ma'isim Tovim. The idea behind you learning Torah in the first place, the mentality that you approach it, is with the mentality of Tshuva and Ma'isim Tovim. And in particular, also it talks about the idea in various places why the order Tshuva and Ma'isim Tovim is because tshuva makes it that then the person's ma'isim are tovim. They're shiny. They light up the world. Batero is a kitovu, we had in last week's parasha, that light is good. When Moshe was born, the whole house filled up with light. So therefore, ma'isim tovim means deeds, means actions that light up the world, and tshuva is a prerequisite for those. Shalo yehei adam kodeh v'shoneh, so continues Rava, you don't want to have, a person should be reading Tanakh and learning Mishnayos, or boyet ba'aviv imu v'rabbi, and then he's going to rebel against his parents and his teacher, or misho god remember b'chachma over minyan, or anybody else who's greater than him in chachma or in number, meaning in age. And it doesn't even mean necessarily that he's deliberately going and disobeying them in public. It can also mean, for example, he's going off the derech, and therefore it brings embarrassment to them that people say about his parents or his rebbe, look what kind of kid this is.
Boyet
literally means to kick. So it literally means to kick, like there's a fight against. But it means also that even the person goes off the derech. Kenema, Reishis Chochma Yirat Hashem, as it says, the beginning of Chochma is fear of Hashem. Seichel Tov L'Cholei Sehem, it's good understanding for all those who do them. And what I say him, lo'osim lo'nema, it's not just the people who do, which would imply just people who learn Torah. Ela lo'osim him, it means the deposit says, for those who do them, meaning lo'osim l'shma, v'lo lo'osim shalai l'shma. So this mila, these milas in the pasuk about Yirat Hashem and Seichel Tov is only for those who are doing Torah, who are learning Torah l'shma, v'lo lo'osim shalai l'shma, not for the ones who learn shalai l'shma. on the side here, it brings a different girsa that not the difference is not between oisim and oisehem, but between lomdehem and oisehem. The pasuk doesn't say seichel tov l'chol lomdehem. It's talking about Torah. On the face of it, should be talking about those who learn, but instead it says loisehem, the ones who do them. So that means the ones who do l'shma and not the ones sholei l'shma. In the Maimer that I mentioned before, it also mentions oisehem, meaning the person, so to speak, like makes themselves. They make themselves into a different person by acting this way. V'chola oisa shaloi l'shma, and continues Rava, anybody who does shaloi l'shma, noyach loi shaloi nivra, he would have been better off not being born. And here, Rashi and Tosfos both explain that we're talking about the second kind of shaloi l'shma that we mentioned before, where he's learning Torah lakanter in order to argue and harass and whatever other people. Yeah. So that kind of person would be better. Rav used to regularly say the following statement: Loi ka olam hazeh ha olam haba. This world is not like olam haba. Ha olam haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shsiya. In the olam haba, and we'll talk in a second what olam haba means in this context. In olam haba, there's no eating and drinking. V'lo piriyah v'rivya. There's no having children. V'lo maso matan. There's no business. V'lo kina. There's no jealousy. V'lo sina or hatred. V'lo tachros or competition. Ela tzadikim yoshen v'atrasayim b'rasheim. The tzadikim sit there with their crowns on their heads. V'nenin miziv ha-shchina, and they enjoy the glow of the shchina. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'yechzu ha-tzadikim v'yechlu v'yishtu. As it says by Matan Torah, that they saw Hashem, so to speak, and they ate and they drank. In other words, they didn't literally eat and drink. That would have been disrespectful. It means they enjoyed the shchina as much as eating and drinking. Now, what do we mean by Olam Haba over here? The Rambam's shita is that you have there's going to be Mashiach, there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, but eventually there's going to be a point when there's only Neshamas. Eventually, the Rambam learns those bodies that come alive by Tchias HaMesim eventually are going to die again. There's going to be a world of only Neshamas. That is what's called Olam Haba, and that Rambam says that's what the Gemara is referring to over here. That in that world of Neshamas, after Tchias HaMesim and after the Neshamas die again, or actually the Rambam explains that Olam Haba means both. It means the individual Olam Haba that a person has after he passes away. Then you have eventually after that, there's going to be a Tchias HaMesim. Eventually after that, those people will come alive by Tchias HaMesim are going to die again. And then all those Neshamas will have Olam Haba again. And both times, the Olam Haba is what we're saying over here. It's all Ruchnius. The Ramban and most other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam on that. They say that no, after Tchias HaMesim, the people will stay alive forever.
The Ramban.
And most other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and Chassidus also holds like the Rambam, holds like Ramban on this, not like the Rambam, that no, after Tchias HaMesim, those people will never die again. They come alive again. Everybody who's alive by Mashiach's time is alive. Everybody who's not comes alive, and they remain alive forever in Gufim. So why are we saying over here that they don't need to eat and drink, etc., is because at that point we'll have that the body will be sustained purely from Ruchnius. Even nowadays, it talks about in many places in Chassidus, really when a person lives off food, they're not essentially living off, as it says in the pasuk, a person doesn't loyal alechem levada yichyad, a person doesn't really live on bread, a person lives on moitza pi Hashem, on the words of Hashem that are in that bread. So it's not really the vitamins and minerals and whatnot, it's really the dvar Hashem that makes that bread exist. La'asid lave, we'll see that openly, and therefore we don't need to eat and drink physical food, because instead we're going to be sustained directly by Elikos. Continues the Gemara. G'doyla havtocha sheiv ticha nakadosh baruch olam nashim yosim min ha-nashim. The promise that Hashem made to the women is that of the reward that they're going to get in Gan Eden is greater than what the men get. Shenema, as the Chassid says, nashim sha'ananos, calm women, koim nashma nakoli, stand up and listen to what I'm saying. Bonus boitchos, women who trust as they know in Rusty, listen to what I have to say. So we see that the Pasuk is calling them boitchos. They're already able to trust that they're going to get their schar. Well, in other words, like they have a greater promise, they have a greater guarantee of it than men do. In fact, actually, the Pnei Yeshua says that this is a continuation of what Rav is saying. Rav is saying that in Olam Haba, there's no Achila and Shtiyah, etc. And he's stressing, you should know, women have a more certain place of that than men do. Amalei Rav l'Rabchiyah, so Rav asks Rabchiyah in that connection, Noshim Amai Zachyan, with what do women have schus? And the answer is, Bakruyed B'nayu L'Beit Mishnah, number one, that they take their kids to Cheder to learn Torah, Beis Nishta literally means the shul. Rashi explains in those days they used to learn the local cheder would be in shul. And that they have their husbands go away to the yeshiva to learn Torah, and they wait for their husbands in the evening until they come home from the yeshiva. That's their schus. Now the question is, of course, I mean they have schus and they do lots of mitzvahs.
Also bring the children to.
But usually in those days the women did. But the point is, in other words, one point of it is we're asking, given a person needs Torah in order to have their completeness. So the question is, women don't learn Torah. They don't have the fear of learning Torah the way men do. So how are they going to have their shleimus? And the answer is because they're involved in learning Torah. They're involved in it by bringing their children to cheder and seeing that their husbands go to the Beis Medrash. That's true. They mentioned over there at this point
right.
That women have the schus
right.
In fact, one idea is that Iyun Yaakov says, in a way, women have the. That's why we're saying women have the greater schus, because they make it happen. And we find elsewhere in the Gemara where it says, "God on the after Yosim and Oisa, the one who makes somebody else do a mitzvah is greater than the one who does the mitzvah himself." So in that sense, the women have it better. This that we're saying. God Alama Asta, the one who makes somebody else do a mitzvah, is greater than the one who does it himself. But this Gemara over here, by the way, is a source for why we say in a Mishaberach, for a girl, we say L'Toyro L'Chop Olamai Sintayvim. In the Velt, in many parts of the Velt, they just say, you got Lua L'Chop Olamai Sintayvim, because women are not, they don't have a Chiyuv of Lumen Al-Toyro. But the Rebbe Rashab writes, based on this Gemara, that you should say L'Toyro as well, because even if they themselves don't learn Toyro, they still are involved in it, as we're saying in the Gemara.
Technically, it's interesting that the Gemara should say women are greater schus than men when they're not obligated to learn Torah.
That's fine.
Learn Torah.
But nevertheless, we're saying that they have greater schus in particular because they make it happen. Also, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out that also practically speaking, women have a much harder a lot of times. Women have a much harder life than men. They have childbirth. They have damnida. They have. Okay, because so therefore, so now that the women are involved in Talmud Torah, then therefore they also Okay, onward. When the Rabbanan would leave Rab Ami's yeshiva, the Amilam Beir Rab Chanina, others say this happened when they left Rab Chanina's yeshiva. In other words, when they were getting ready to leave, they would give their Rebbe a bracha. Or maybe it means, or another possibility is it means they would tell each other. Rashi actually says, Mizeh, Mizeh, they would wish each other these brachas. They're going to be now leaving. They're taking their leave. They're each going home to their hometown or whatever. So they would say to each other the following bracha: Olam chotira b'chayecha, may you see your world in your lifetime. Meaning, in other words, you should find all your needs. You should have like your olam haba already in olam haza. And you should have a future in olam haba for the life of olam haba. In other words, even though you have it good in this world, it shouldn't be that it takes away from your schar in olam haba. You should have a hope that goes for generation upon generation. Your heart should think words of should think understanding of Torah. Picha yedaber chokmah. Your mouth should speak words of chokmah. Or lashoncha yarchish runonet. Your tongue should move with songs of praise to Hashem. Apapecha yashiru nagdecha. Your eyes should look straight ahead of you, meaning you should be able to reach the correct conclusion in halacha. Your eyes should shine with the light of Torah. Your face should shine like the splendor, like the shine of the heavens. Your lips should speak understanding. Your kidneys, which in the Gemara terminology means like what makes a person decide what's right and wrong, a person's conscience basically. Should be happy with doing the right thing, with doing the straight thing. And your feet should run to hear the words of Atik Yomin, which means Hashem. The Marsha points out, we're mentioning pretty much all the parts of the body because all of them are involved in learning Torah. When the Rabbanan would leave the yeshiva of Rav Chisda, the Amilam Beir of Shmuel Ben Achmeni, or others say when they left the yeshiva of Shmuel Ben Achmeni, they would say to him as follows. Again, either they would give him a bracha, or they would give each other the following bracha. They would use the Lashon HaPasuk from Tehillim, Alufeinu Mesubalim. The Pasuk goes, the whole Pasuk, we're going to darshan it now, Alufeinu Mesubalim, Ein Peres Ve'en Yosef Ve'en Tzvacha B'chavasein. The simple meaning of it is Alufeinu means something like our cattle. are oxen, are very strong, the subalim, are very strong, that can carry heavy burdens. In Peref, there's no breaking, in Yotis, nobody's going out, in Tzvacha, and there's no crying out in our streets. So the Gemara is going to dash in what it means. Alufenu Mitzvolim, Rav Shmuel. So Rav and Shmuel argue what that pasuk is referring to. But Amilo Rav Yechanan and Rav Elazar, the others say Rav Yechanan and Rav Elazar argue. Chad Amar, one says it means like this. Alufenu Batora, Alufenu, our leaders, refers to the ones who teach us Torah. And with Mitzvolim the mitzvahs, and they carry a heavy burden of mitzvahs. In other words, they don't, as we said before, they don't only learn Torah. They're involved in mitzvahs as well, and they take on a heavy burden of it. But Chadama Alufenu about Torah over mitzvahs. The other one says no. Alufenu means all by itself means that they're great in Torah and mitzvahs. Or Mesubalim the Yisurim. The Mesubalim, the heavy burden that they carry, is a burden of Yisurim. As we said before, Yisurim Shalava, Yisurim Mechaper, and everybody else. Then the pasuk continues. Ein Peretz. This is all again. It's part of the pasuk. It's also part of the bracha that they would say. Ein Peretz. There shouldn't be a breach. Meaning, our group should not be like the group of that was in the times of David HaMelech, where eventually Achitofel came out of it, and Achitofel was a Rasha, and he tried to break Malchus based David, because he supported Avshalom in his rebellion. The Ein Yotzeh, and the passage continues, there's no going out, means Shaloi Tehek Siyasenu Kisiyotzeh Shol Shol, our group should not be like the group of Shol HaMelech, where Doeg HaDoimi came out of it, where again, both Achitofel and Doeg were both great Talmid HaChamim, but they were both Roshoyim, and they said, so we daven that there shouldn't be such things among us. Tosfos gives the gears to the other way around. Tosfos gives the gears to as we have it, but actually there's a gears to the other way around as well, that Ein Peretz refers to Doeg, and Ein Yotzeh refers to Achitofel. So Marashah explains that Peretz is appropriate for Doeg because he broke through, he killed the Kohenim of Noiv, and Yotzeh is appropriate for Achitofel because he left the world, he committed suicide. Anyway.
In Paris, it's a simple translation.
The simple translation, in Paris, there's no breach. There's no, like, our walls are not broken through. In Yosef, and nobody is going out, nobody's going out and getting lost or whatever. So it means that we shouldn't have people like Doeg and Achitofel among us. The Ein Tzvacha, and when the passage continues, there should be no crying out, means Shaloi Tehek Siyosenu, it's the office of Elisha, that our group of Kemen HaChamim should not have to be like the group of Elisha, Shaliyosimen of Gechazi, where Gechazi came out of it, and what does crying have to do with Gechazi? The one thing is, because Gechazi became a Masora, and a Masora has to call out, Tomei, Tomei. So therefore, crying out has to do with him.
Everybody should know.
Also, Marashah explains, what was the original thing where we see Gechazi was starting to go bad, was when Elisha tells him to take a staff and revive the Bener Isha Shunamis, and he tells him, don't talk to anybody on the way. And meanwhile, Gechazi is not. Everywhere he's going, he's saying, look, my Rebbe sent me with the staff to be Mechaimeth, and that's the crying out. So we're asking, we shouldn't have that among our Talmidim. And when it finishes off, Birchoi Veisenu, in our streets, what does that mean? It means Shaloi Yehelon Ben Oitalmid Shemakdiach Tavshila Berabim. We should not have to have a son or a child or a Talmud that Makdiach Tavshila literally means burns his food. Berabim, and in public, but it means, in other words, like he goes off the derech and takes words and takes teachings of Torah and misuses them to teach things of Minus. Uncensored Gemaras over here add an example from history to go in Yeshua Hanotzi. Another
Hanotzi,
yeah, means that he was from the city of Nazareth, no, Nazareth, whatever, in the north of Eretz Israel. He himself was a Yid. Okay. A pasuk says like this, speaking of tzaddikim, the pasuk says, Shimu elai abirei lev harachokim mitzadokah. The pasuk says, listen to me, strong-hearted people who are far away from tzaddikah. So what does that mean? Rav Shmuel, again, Rav and Shmuel argue, Ba'ami the Rav Yechon and Rav Elazar, others say Rav Yechon and Rav Elazar argue, the Pashto, that's why the Gemara is bringing it in, because we have the same pair, they have the same two pairs before. Sad Omer, one says what the Pasuk means, both of them agree that the Pasuk is talking about Tzadikim, Abirei Lev means they're strong-hearted, they have a strong heart, they're firm in their connection to Hashem. So what does it mean? Chad Amar, one says, Kol Olam Kula Nizonin B'Tzedakah. It means the whole rest of the world is sustained because of Hashem's Tzedakah. They don't deserve it. Hashem does as a kindness for them. V'heim nizonin bizroya, as opposed to this level of tzaddikim, are sustained by Hashem in the bizroya, literally means with an arm. In other words, like they deserve it. Like they can go, so to speak, with a strong arm and demand what they need from Hashem, because, so to speak, like he owes them one. So therefore, so they're called rechoikim mitzdaka. They're far away from Hashem tzedaka because they don't need Hashem tzedaka. They only need zroya. There is actually in the Siddurim Dach, actually, there's an interesting point that the Alter Rebbe talks about over there. We know that Olam Hazeh was created with a hay. Olam Haba was created with a yud. That the Alter Rebbe also talks about over there. Our world was created with chesed. Olam chesed yibane. Gan Eden was created with gvura. Why? Related to our Gemara over here. Gan Eden is what a person actually deserves. So, like, so to speak, with gvura, he, like, so to speak, a person can force, like, what he gets over there is exactly what he deserves. B'chadam, the other one says, no, what it means is, kol ha'olam kulin nizonim b'schutzam, the whole world is sustained in the schut of these tzaddikim, but meanwhile, these tzaddikim, they don't even get sustained in their own schut. That's what it means. They're choyke mitzdaka, according to the second explanation, they're far away from Hashem tzedaka, in other words, Hashem doesn't give them anything. As we have the example, Kidru Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Rab, b'chol yom b'yom, bas kol yotzis mehachorev, every day a voice comes out from mehachorev, v'omeres, and it says, kol ha'olam kula nizonin b'shvil chanina b'ni, the whole world is sustained because of my son Chanina, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, that is, v'chanina b'ni, and meanwhile, my son Chanina, dailo, the type of charoven, me'erev Shabbos, light of Shabbos, it's enough for him, a calf of carobs from one Shabbos to the next. So he himself gets by on very little, and meanwhile the whole world is sustained in its course. That's what a choyke mitzvah. Okay, so the Gemara says, a pligid of Yehuda. This statement that we said, that this pasuk, Shimu Elayah, Bir Elayah, a choyke mitzvah, that according to either explanation is going on in tzaddikim, this disagrees with what Rabbi Yehuda said. The Amr of Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda has a different explanation. Man Abirei Lev, who are these Abirei Lev, these strong-hearted people, it means negatively. Goyvoi Tipshoi, the foolish goyvoi. Rashi brings that there was a nation in Babel called Goyvoi. The Gemara tells us in Kedushin that they were actually descendants of the Nisinim, of the Givonim. So they're fools. So why? Amar Abiyah said, Teda, you can see how foolish they are, how strong-hearted in the negative sense they are, how stubborn they are. There's never any gear from them. No Goy from that group has ever been attracted enough to Yiddishkeit to become a gear. That shows how stubborn and foolish they are. Marshar explains, you have the Nisinim, the ones who became Gerim in the times of Yeshua, out of fear that the Yidden are going to attack them. And then you have members of that group who didn't become Gerim, who remained Goyim. So those are the ones we're talking about over here as the Goyim. Amr Ravashi, so Ravashi says, here's another example, Bnei Mosim Achasi Abirei Lev Ninu. The people of Mosim Achasi, which is the city where Ravashi had his yeshiva, are also these Abirei Lev, these stubborn, foolish people, the Goyim over there. What? So now we're saying that Abirei Lev means the strong-hearted people, the people who are stubborn-hearted, and even no matter how much they see of the truth, it doesn't attract.
It's not used for Yidden also?
So we said before, it's used for the tzaddikim, according to Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Loz, we said it's used for the tzaddikim. Rabbi Yehuda and Ravashi. Okay, why? Twice a year, the Goyim and Mos Machasya see the glory of the Torah, when the Jewish people gather together there in Adar and in Elul, to hear the halachas of the upcoming Yom Tovim. So they see the glory of the Torah. So many Jews are gathered together over there. And yet not one of them has ever become a ger. Tosfos points out, it's not just that they gathered. First of all, Tosfos says, why not Shavuos also? Because Shavuos is only one day. It doesn't have a lot of halachas, so they didn't gather as much. But Tosfos brings also from a sefer, from one of the Rishonim, called Sefer Itzim, from Rabbi Yehuda Bar Barzilai, that it's not just that there were so many Jews gathering there that should have impressed the Goyim, it's also there was a pillar of fire surrounding them when they were all gathered together over there. So the Goyim, Ravashi is saying, are seeing that, and yet they're not impressed enough with the greatness of Torah to join the Yidden. So therefore they're the Abirei Lev, they're these stubborn, foolish people. And no matter how much they
see, they were able to see the fire?
I guess so. I guess it's the point, yeah. Okay, the Mishnah had said chosinim wrote to liquor. So getting back to the Mishnah, we said that a chosin is chosin from Kriyashma until he has relations with his wife the first time, if he married a sula. But we said if he wants to say Shema, then he could. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said no, not everybody who wants to take on himself the name that he's a Yoreh Shemayim should do that. So you want to ask, well, Memra, did Rav Shimon Gamliel chai shli yuhara, v'rabbonon loy chai shli yuhara? Are you telling me then that Rav Shimon Gamliel is concerned about yuhara, about showing off? About showing off what a Yoreh Shemayim is, and that Rabbanan are not. We find a different Mishnah where we find exactly the opposite. Ditznan, as we learn in the Mishnah, in Tzachim. Mokim Shenagu Lassus Malacha B'Tisha B'Av, in a place where they have a minute to do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, Oisin, and they're allowed to do work then. Mokim Shenagu Shaloi Lassus Ein Oisin, in a place where the minute is not to do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, you don't do work. The Pashtus, we're talking about Tisha B'Av afternoon, because in the morning, anyway, you're busy saying Kinnis, you're not supposed to work then anyway. Everywhere, regardless whether it's the local minhag or not, the local Tamid Chachamim have to be bought, so they're not supposed to do work that day. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says a person should always act everywhere like a Tamid Chacham. So even if he personally is not, he should still act that way and not do malacha. So Kasha did Rabbanon, Av did Rabbanon, Kasha did Rav Shimon Gamliel, Av did Rav Shimon Gamliel. So we have a contradiction. Here the Rabbanon are not concerned about Yuhara, go ahead and say Kriya Shema even though you are Chosin, and over there they are. And they're saying, don't pretend to be a Tamid Chacham, don't make yourself bigger than you are. And Rav Shimon Gamliel is the other way around. He was concerned about Yuhara, there he's not. So what do we do? I'm Rav Yechanan Mokhlaf et Hashita. So Rav Yechanan says, actually, you're right. You have to flip around the opinions. Obviously, in one or the other of these Mishnayos, the opinions mistakenly got flipped around, and you have to flip it around to make it right. Okay. Rav Shisha Breid, Rav Idiom, Ola Olam Lai Tachlis. Rav Shisha Breid, Rav Idi says, you don't have to flip them around. The difference is like this. Rabbanan, Al Rabbanan Lai Kasha. There's no contradiction between the two statements of the Rabbanan like this. The difference is like this. Krishma, when it comes to saying Krishma, Kibin Dekula Alma Kakoru, V'iu Nami Kori, everybody else is saying Krishma at this time. This Chosin is also saying Krishma, Loi Mechzik Yuara. So it doesn't look like Yuara, it doesn't look like showing off. It doesn't occur to people necessarily that he's a Chosin. Okay, everybody's saying Shema, he's saying Shema with them. Hocha, but over here, when it comes to, or Chosin really, whatever, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, Kibin Dekula Alma, Avdi Malacha, everybody else is going and doing their work. The Iyu, Loika Ovid, he's meanwhile is not doing work. The Chachamim are holding Mechzi Kiyura. It's going to look like showing off. Why is he not doing work? It must be because he's considering himself to be a Tamar Chacham when really he's not. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Ad Rav Shimon Gamliel like Kasha. With Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's also no contradiction between what he says, because the difference is Hasim B'Kavon Atalia Milsa, because over there, when it comes, over here really, whatever, when I'm talking about Shema, it depends on Kavona. Why is a chosin potter from Kriya Shema? We said before is because he has tirda the mitzvah. He's distracted because of the mitzvah that he's going to be doing.
So we didn't say kavanah.
In other words, well, tirda is the opposite of kavanah. When there's tirda, then there's no kavanah. So kavanah talya milta. It all depends on kavanah. He needs to be able to have kavanah to say Shema. V'amnam sadi, we can testify to loyamosi l'chavoni daisi that he's not going to be able to be mechaven, and therefore we potter him from Kriya Shema. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, unless he's the kind of person who, a regular person shouldn't take on himself the mantle of, I'm great enough that I can have kavanah at this point, because we know, anam sadi, that a person in such a situation is not going to have kavanah. Aval hacha, but over here, when it comes to malacha and Tisha B'Av, it's not going to look like Yura. Haroya oimer, if somebody sees him not working, he's going to say, okay, malacha u'deinloy. Okay, he doesn't have to have any work today. After all, even on days when people do work, go see how many later gayers and how many unemployed there are in the marketplace. So just because he's not working that day, does not necessarily going to look like you at all. Okay, punk, today he doesn't have to have any work to do. The actual halacha nowadays is, as far as Shema, we don't apply this thing about, Tosfos already points out, we don't apply this din about the chosin nowadays. We say a chosin is chayv in Kriya Shema, because now it's the other way around. We don't have such kavanah in the first place. So in general, so on the contrary, if a chosin were not to say Kriya Shema, then it would be a real issue of yuhara. Look at this. Usually I have such kavanah, but today I can't. So therefore, you don't do that, and therefore chosin is just as chayv in Kriya Shema nowadays as anybody else.
But he's not the Yuara. What you're mentioning is not that he's a Tamid Chacham.
No, not a Tamid Chacham. This that he would be saying, tonight I'm not able to say Kriya Shema because I'm distracted, implying, but all the other times I have such Kavanah. So that would be Gaiva, that would be Yuara. As opposed to on Tisha B'Av, yes, nobody should be doing Malacha on Tisha B'Av. In fact, it says that if a person does do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, he doesn't see a Simen Bracha from it. So Tisha B'Av is a time to be focusing on the Churban and eventually on the Geula. Because on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av in particular, we focus on the Geula. Hadron Alachoyakoyah.